Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. As I was wrapping up yesterday's show, I thought maybe what I should have said, but I just ran out of time, is maybe you can help me. What is it? What's your trigger? What is the one catalyst that'll go, okay, that's it. I'm standing up. I'm not going to sit here and take it anymore. Remember there was that... I forget the name of the movie, but it was where this guy, you know, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And a lot of you may remember that. I'm just probably showing my age. I think it was probably a late 70s, early 80s type of movie. And it was about a newscaster and he was plummeting in his ratings. And he all of a sudden expressed rage in what was supposed to be his very last episode, and it just sent everybody off the edge. Everybody goes, we want more of this guy. And, you know, every time, you know, he had to, you know, kick it up a notch or what have you. And I don't remember the full movie in detail, other than the fact that here was a guy that was at the end of his career. And recognized the fact that he was going to lose everything and ended up going, you know, out of his comfort zone and just, you know, literally losing it on camera and expressing, you know, just his anger, his raw, basic, you know, emotions of anger on the screen. And that's what revitalized his career. Isn't it ironic? What is it that will help us revitalize our republic? That's the question. I'm throwing this out to you. What's it going to take? Do you even know? Does something have to happen to your family? Is it, you know, your children, your spouse, your significant other? Maybe it's your mistress or your mustache or maybe your or not mustache. That's not the right term. Whatever you call in the opposite gender, you know, when a woman has a guy on the side, whatever you want to call him, you know, because the bat's going to swing both ways here, right? I mean, we've got a very diverse listening audience. And what is it going to take for you? Does something have to happen to somebody you really care about? Somebody that is driving what the meaning of your life today? Maybe that driving of the meaning of your life for those Christians is your relationship with Christ. Does something really have to happen to that point? Do you have to get to that point to not recognize that we're speeding down the highway, going to be running off a cliff that is going to absolutely impact you? It is going to affect that relationship, affect that those things and the people that you care most about. It's going to affect all of us. There's nobody that is not going to be affected. Okay, so you won't do it for yourself, but would you do it for them? What is it? Tell me. Tell me how I can improve the marketing here in getting people engaged in talking about and promoting and pushing Republic Review. Now, I still feel like, and I've got people out there helping me. There's no doubt. And I thank the Lord for everybody that is helping. Because I would not be here, one, without this microphone to be able to, I don't want to say pummel you, but to be able to beat you with this message and get you to finally read and get you to finally not take mine or anybody's word for it. Know the facts yourself so that you can become the most dangerous weapon I can create. A walking ball of truth, a walking stick of truth. You know, that covers the fat and the thin. Whatever, right? We all need to be wrecking machines of truth to go shut down all of the lies that we have been subjugated to, how they have obfuscated the truth, and it's time that the truth shines. And you can be a part of that. But as we were talking about, and as I was wrapping up, I was basically speaking to the deep state. The only way to get rid of the dark evil in that deep state is to shine the light on it and stand up and say, we don't want any more of this. So what do we have to do to get back to where we need to be? Well, one of the things is we have to restore morals. We have to restore the mores in our society. And the fact that I can't get sitting champion, supposedly, you know, people that beat their chest, I'm a champion of the Constitution that represents you, but they won't sign a pledge that says they'll resign if they violate the Constitution. Let's just narrow it down to that one line. I will resign if I do not live up to my oath of office in supporting the Constitution. Interesting. Can't even get, so I don't know, we might be able to get them to do this, but that, my friends, is an indictment. It's an indictment of the paradigm of how we can't hold anybody accountable. If the people that are governing us can't be held accountable to the standard, as I point out, and as a matter of fact, this is Keith Broder's contribution to my whole argument because he made this eloquently. The government requires that you license your dog. The government requires that you license your tag, your car. The government requires that you register your property and that they, you know, constantly look at it so that they can increase your property value if you improve it. The government requires that if you want to make a living making floral arrangements or, you know, putting PVC together as landscaping, they have certifications and licenses and requirement for anything and everything you want to do, whether it's a basic business license to a profession license and certificate. And yet not one legislator at any level, local, state or federal, has to be submitted to any standard other than the oath of office. And it means nothing. Are we being ruled by hypocrisy? Remember, Aristotle in his book, The Book of Politics, just simply called Politics, go read that book. He says that the two causes of revolution are, one, that the people are starving or that the people are not getting, you know, what government is supposed to be giving them. And the two, when the people realize that their elected public servants are taking advantage of them and stealing their wealth and subjugating them. And that's what's happening when you create an elite society that is above any standards and above any time. You know, isn't it about time we improve the standards of those who are the sovereigns who rule over us, who govern us, because we elect them to do so? Now, granted, we delegate very specific powers via the Constitution that we're supposed to be controlling. But here's the problem. Our constitutions are based on democracies in the state, unlike our federal constitution. Our constitution should require a majority vote. You cannot amend your constitution with a 50% plus one because that is mob rule. Every state constitution should require a higher margin of success, a 2/3, 3/4, something higher, or better yet, I would be happy with a 50% plus one. If you've got 20 counties, you have to have 11 counties that agree to, because then it changes. It changes because counties are based on population and paradigms, because you can find through most states, but I would still prefer a major majority, like 2/3 of the counties. That would be an appropriate state constitution. But every constitution, the original constitutions of the original states were probably based on very similar standards. They allowed democracy and mob rule to come in and empower and take the position of every voice has a, you know, everybody's voice should count and we should all be able to vote and everything. And there, and that has been our demise in modeling us towards a democracy and mob rule, because that's how we surrender our liberties. Anyway, the deep state has been running amok, and it will continue to run amok. And that, and anybody that is honest with themselves can realize, because you can even see yourself being ideological. There's very few people out there that are completely neutral, that really don't care. Very few. Everybody cares about something. Everybody has their ideologies and their passions. And we are becoming more and more polarized over those issues, because as we see abhorrent behavior from one group of people, we say, I am completely against that. Now, the interesting thing is, and you can't tell me the deep state isn't in the media, because the interesting thing is the media always tries to castigate the conservatives and the right, and they deliberately hide, or they call the alt-right when actually they're leftists, like what happened in South Carolina. Those were all leftists down there, all people that wanted to maintain and compel people into their level of control, whether it be control over race, whether it be control over morals, whatever. They're all leftists. They're all control freaks. Well, with that, I have wasted or squandered, or I shouldn't say squandered, but I've gone through my first segment already. So we will be right back after this, these two promos. So please stay tuned and we'll be right back. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. Oh, by the way, I want to thank those of you who've been listening. I haven't done that in a long time. And I want to also remind you to please try to make it a weekly effort to get somebody new to check out the truth. And what I'm saying is you want people to actually get turn people on to this show. That's, I guess that sounds so 60s and 70s. So what I'm asking in today's vernacular is try to introduce people to the topics and the discussions that we have right here on this show so that they can become enlightened regarding the fusion of truth and fact, because there's nothing better than that. We are not entertainers here. I don't infuse entertainment along with news, because news is only as good as who is reporting and the biases and the filters that they're providing you. I will tell you, I have a very biased perspective because I try to report on those things and actually point out how these things are, you know, obfuscations of the Constitution and so forth and so on, like the deep state, and how our government is so far out of whack from the Constitution, because this is the only show on air that actually provides academic evidence. And that's why we read the actual ratification debates. That's why we go through these things, so you don't take my word for it. We want you to hear Madison's words. We want you to hear Thomas Jefferson's words, James Iredell, all of these framers. We want you to hear their words for themselves and understand what they endowed us with by the divine, by the inspiration of the divine hand of providence. We received this constitutional republic. That's why we will be going into the George Washington's first proclamation. We're also going to be going into, it looks like in our next episode, we'll be hitting the Tory Acts. And we'll also, in the future, hit the 14th Amendment, Section 3 again, and the importance of the oath, the citizen's oath, and so forth. We all kind of have a huge responsibility for this. We're also going to get into Elijah Cummings. I mean, I've done a memorial for McCain. I've done a memorial for George Bush. I'm going to do a memorial for Elijah Cummings. But I believe it is important that we allow those loved ones, family members, and friends and associates the time and space appropriate for mourning. Because everybody has people that love them, and they deserve that dignity. They deserve that respect. Now, with that, speaking of deserving, right? Here is a blow for women's equality, if you want to consider it, you know, that play on words or what have you. But let me get into this. G. Edward Griffin reported, and as most people know about this, Katie Hill, who's a hardcore progressive Democrat representative from California, she happens to be the first woman in Congress to resign due to a sex scandal. On Sunday, she announced that she would leave her office in the wake of a House Ethics Committee investigation into her alleged participation in sexual relationships with her male legislative director and her female campaign staffer. Well, so apparently, this was a blow in the wrong direction for supposedly for the women's movement who want to take the moral high ground and, you know, the hashtag Me Too. So apparently everybody is susceptible to avarice. Everybody is susceptible to greed. It is human nature. And apparently it's an outlier for women. I don't know. You got to remember that we don't see women in this role, but I'm going to tell you that it's also in the news that, you know, if you go out and look, that there is a high school football player who just committed suicide because he was molested by his teacher at school. And we're talking high school, I believe. And we're talking that this wasn't her only case. This was her fourth student. And apparently he either couldn't take the guilt, bullying, or what have you, what happened when people found out, whatever. But here is a young man that offed himself because he was a subject to molestation, or actually to having sexual relations with an adult, and he couldn't bear it. I mean, he gave up the ultimate, which was his life, because of his embarrassment or whatever overriding emotions that made him do that ultimate act. And that was one, and this isn't the only case. That's not an outlier. There have been other women more and more in Florida. Actually, I think there's a couple teachers, female teachers in Florida alone that have been caught with, you know, having sex with their male students. Friends, are we really thinking that, you know, it's only one-sided in this world, as we have completely even debased the mores of society and of women have shifted from their natural design of nurturers and so forth, and being what society needs is good mothers, and what society needs are good fathers. We have completely taken away those, and I'll call them barriers or guidelines in our society, that as a man, you are supposed to be a father, provider, and so forth. A woman, a nurturer, and so forth. And I know these are these evil stereotypes, but our roles, I truly believe these are divine roles. And as we shed them and the boundaries get smeared or lost completely, this is going to be a norm. Whether you like it or not, school shootings is a norm. People using violence to express themselves is a norm because we have debased our society. It's plain and simple. Plain and simple. So Kate Hill is just another symptom of the real problem. Now, John Wedger, this is another G. Edward Griffin story on the Need to Know News, a reason why you should be signing up for this. John Wedger, a retired police detective who served with Scotland Yard for 27 years and specialized in pedophile rings, reveals how police departments, leadership, and management protect politicians, celebrities, and other powerful people who commit pedophilia. Now, G. Edward Griffin's editorial note states that child sex abuse is a political strategy that creates a means to control politicians and judges through blackmail. It has become a standard method of operation at the highest levels in almost all governments of the world, which is why it is so difficult to get governments to clean it up. Now, I am here to tell you, anybody that reads the Bible, anybody that understands by reading our Christian scripture and our Christian heritage, this is not new. Sex has been the tool of extortion for millennia. I see this as an indictment as to how morally debased we have become globally as a society when we are actually attacking and hurting the most innocent among us, our children. I mean, one of the barriers that we had to get over was infanticide. And we're already there, my friends. And that first barrier before that was just basic abortion, getting rid of the life in the womb. It has been an incremental creep and crawl to the bottom, and we are getting in a warmer, more conducive state of decay as we get closer and closer to the core of evil. It's that simple. And there are ways to stop. The federal government has no powers, roles, responsibilities at all given to them to mandate and dictate homosexual marriage, abortion, and all of these things that are not enumerated powers. The states have all the authority necessary to stand up and say, we did not delegate you these powers. These powers are reserved to us, and you cannot inflict this evil upon us. That's all it takes. It only takes one state to stand up and educate the rest of the states. And that's what I call, my friends, if you've never heard me refer to it, it is called cancer education. Because once people understand that there's a threat in their family to a loved one by cancer, the first thing that person does is they want to get educated in what it takes to help, because we understand the real threat of cancer. And this is the same thing. When people all of a sudden start hearing that there's actually hope that the states can actually do this, I will tell you that if these representatives, these legislatures, and our sovereigns are not quickly creating a method back to integrity and honor and injecting that into our political process, the people will start demanding it. Because I am telling you, we need to demand our public servants comply to their oath of office. We have to hold them accountable. And right now, they have removed all mechanisms of holding them accountable. That's why they can smile in our face as they do their adulterous deeds or what have you when they get caught. And then only those who succumb. Because I'll tell you what, Franken, you know, even though he was only outed for some pictures and so forth, he was forced by lots of people to say, we'll bring out every piece of trash about you. We need you to step down. And they used every leverage possible to get him to do that. And that's exactly what has happened. And so with that, we have this heartbreak. And so we will be right back with more marketing and news and the compendious summation in our next two segments. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So one of the things you don't hear in the news is that the tearing down of the pioneers of statism, communism, Platonism, whatever you want to call it, because you'll find that places like even Seattle and other places are erecting statues to Vladimir Lenin and all of the despots of communism. And you don't hear those symbols being torn down in the Soviet Union after the curtain fell. Why didn't they rip down Stalin and the statues of Lenin and so forth? But what you do hear and what we've been hearing, and you know, it's like sad news when we heard that Notre Dame burned down. But I'm here to tell you that it seems like we're losing, not just we, but all societies that have a historic focus. Because China, there is no historic focus. It's moving forward as the Communist Party. And everything that they have and every statue is all, it serves a purpose in China to pointing people to into compliance to the state. You must comply to the state because you are their subject and you will do what you're told. And throughout the world, statism is growing and growing. And we've had despots, and we pulled down Saddam Hussein. And as a matter of fact, the Iraqis were happy to pull down that statue. But we're finding that it's not just, you know, that type of despot. We're finding historic culture is under attack for the need of this new statism, whether it be the environment or whether it be the absolute truth of the proponents for these movements, which is the communists. And so I just wanted to share with you, because in the wake of seeing Notre Dame and all of the World War, or not the Civil War, heritage statues in the South and so forth, some of those having nothing to really do with slavery and so forth. But the point is that there's a movement in destroying our historic culture. And apparently in Okinawa, Japan, the Shuri Castle was burnt down. It has been ravaged and destroyed. And so why is it that these types of things, these edifices, are being destroyed? Let me give you some examples. Our Twin Towers was attacked and destroyed. Notre Dame, we already know that it was burnt down by arson. We know, and I've already stated that these statues of history have been torn down. Now the Shuri Castle in Okinawa, Japan has been burnt down, and it was a symbol of the greatness of Japan, of what its culture, you know, became the epitome of until World War II, of course. But anyway, it seems to me that there's a global effort to erase each culture's history. Or am I just blowing this out of proportion? This is just a coincidence. As you know, Hong Kong and the civil unrest is now on the verge of a recession. If you haven't heard this, you know about the civil unrest. But what happens in a recession? That's where people are hurt financially, as the private sector's activity plunged into a decade low in August amid an escalating trade war and its worst political crisis in decades. China will get their way. Instead of being champions of liberty, we will continue to subsidize communism and its subjugators. There you go. Because the NBA is supporting it, and we're going to find Wall Street supporting it, and that's just how it goes. Have you ever heard of this gal called Catherine Herridge? Well, I probably mispronounced the name, but she is another announcer or news person that works at Fox. If you hadn't heard, Shepard Smith finally left. I guess enough of us were so repelled by his attitude and his bias that maybe people complained and Fox said, okay, you've got to go to really where you can shine as a progressive, just like Megyn Kelly, as she constantly used her ideology to try to talk down to good conservatives and good people. I am here to tell you that this new revelation on Fox, because even though Catherine Herridge, and like I said, I don't know, I'll just call her Catherine because I know I got that right. Catherine on Fox has been pretty, it seemed like she was just an objective reporter. But every once in a while, when they started getting into opinions, she and others show their hands and kind of talking either bad or what have you. As I listen to so many Fox fans, and remember what that word fan means, it means fanatic, right? So as I listen to those who are fanatical about Fox talk about their great personalities who they follow, such as Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, and so forth, these personalities are really, you know, are we going to find out that they're really progressives as well? You have to do something to land and stay on Fox. And so the question I ask you is, why is it, I've asked you this before, why is it that they will never talk about Agenda 2030 and chemtrails? Remember, there was one guy that actually went down that path. He was kicked out. It was Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck was one of the few. As a matter of fact, the other guy that actually went and crossed the line in getting into some truth was Andre Napolitano. And now he's lost his bite. you know, Glenn Beck was not going to lose his bite, and he wasn't going to cower in the shadows of the Fox News towers and then say, please let me back, let me back. Glenn Beck was in a position where he could actually go and do himself, you know, and become his own success. But instead, he decided to fall on his own sword as well. I'm here to tell you that Fox will never talk about Agenda 2030. They're never going to talk about the chemtrails. And there's a reason for this, folks. It's because they are trying to stir up those who have the conservative biases of saying, we don't want to slip any further into immorality. We want to stop and stay right where we are, because that's what a conservative is. A conservative wants to conserve the way things are instead of a restoral. I'm asking and getting you to ponder over this coming, you know, period of time, over the next few weeks, ponder on this. Are you a conservative? Are you happy with the way things are? Are you happy the way we have completely emboldened and now have zero tolerance from homosexuals, and you either have to like what they're doing? You can't even express your disdain anymore. Are you happy about that? You want to conserve that? Or would you like to actually get back to where we can all actually vocally, express how we feel about things? Remember that thing called freedom of speech and expression? A constitutional right? An inalienable right? What are you going to do? I started off with, what is the catalyst? What is it it's going to take to get you to stand up? Tell me what it is. What is it, folks? And so as we move further down, what we need to do is we need to kind of head into, and so I kind of want to cover as best I can what I call the compendious or the comprehensive summation of the events in the news, both, you know, recent and over the period of time, actually for quite a while. We have been slowly, slowly sliding into this abyss. And it's been a very incremental grab, or I should say slide, keep the metaphor straight here, right? So it's been a very incremental slide into this new world of globalism. Let's start by being honest. We have to start, and we have to look at the macro, because when you look at the macro, seeing the big picture, things start falling in place a little better. When you dig into the details, because I like digging into the details and proving academically how this one thing is evidence of us being in amok. In that new article I'm writing regarding the standing army, you're going to love it, and you're going to be able to share this with folks and say, look, much to our surprise, because I've got a long-time article I've still yet to publish. It's called The National Secular Church, how the federal government has created a national secular church and enforced it upon us. That's a long article, and there's no way I can really do justice in giving you the historical context and doing that in a page or two. But this one, I've actually done this pretty concise and boiling it all down to giving you, you know, just a few pages of evidence to prove that we are living under a standing army, because the evidence is overwhelming that it actually is there and exists. So let's look at the macro view, right? And if we look at our global presidents in the last series of a long line of globalists, which started with Teddy Roosevelt. So when I say last series, remember I mentioned earlier that Coolidge was an aberration. He was not a globalist. And if you look, because at that point in time, the League of Nations had failed. He wasn't trying to promote globalism. He was trying to support the Constitution, which is why Coolidge was the champion for amending the Constitution and giving the federal government the constitutional authority to manage and actually regulate labor. But they never got that amendment. And so that's why anything that they do in regulating labor is unconstitutional, because it's not an enumerated power nor an amended power. Anyway, we're at a hard break. We have one more segment, so I'm going to wrap up this compendious summation for you in the next segment. So please stay tuned. I'm going to be fire hosing you, and you'll get your thirst quenched, but you'll probably get wet a little bit too. but we will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue, to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so we were talking about our globalist presidents, and really, if you look at the era of globalism, it's really started with Teddy Kennedy, as he started stepping on and setting the stage for this next globalist, which was Wilson. He actually got into the race to remove Taft so that Wilson could set the stage, because Teddy Roosevelt wasn't that smart. He wasn't the academe that Wilson was. And Wilson, actually being trained within the Marxist, perspective of education and collectivism, that is why Wilson took us into what he tried to set up was a League of Nations. It was the first attempt in trying to create the UN. And Teddy Roosevelt, he understood what he missed, because when he found out that they started teaching communism at Harvard, at his old alma mater, what was it, almost a decade later, he was kind of upset that he missed this new era of thought. But when he found out about the new era of thought, he got on board. Do you think it is a coincidence that McKinley was assassinated and Teddy Roosevelt became president? Do you think that was a coincidence? And supposedly, who killed McKinley? It was an anarchist. And so it wasn't because McKinley had hurt somebody. This person was an anarchist, and I believe that this person was an ideologue. And if you do any research on it, it was something that he was, this guy did, because back in those days, they did anything and everything possible to get the collectivist movement going. And they were very good in being very deceptive. The whole Fabians interjecting themselves into our education and taking over our education, creating a global indoctrination system that they have today. It's no wonder we're where we are today, because they've been so successful in hiding in the dark. Anyway, let's get to the last string of globalist presidents that we've had, because there were basically three strings. The first set of strings, and then Coolidge. Coolidge was an aberration, and the globalism took a rest. Then Hoover, our first New Deal president that actually moved us all the way through to Reagan. Yes, Eisenhower was a globalist. He's the one that gave us the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, violating the Constitution. So anybody who looks highly upon Eisenhower as a great conservative, a champion for liberty, you are completely missing these very important facts that he is the one that gave us, even though with a sleight of hand, he warned us of the military-industrial state that becomes, you know, this huge albatross of finances around America's neck, has nothing. It pales in comparison to the engineering and the social engineering coming from the health, education, and welfare programs that he gave us, making himself look good. Anyway, so into the last string, because again, Reagan was the second aberration in the string of globalism, right? Because the Kennedys, all of these guys were a part of this. Kennedy kind of balked. I think it was because Kennedy started realizing and he wanted to become a rogue or an aberration himself. And, well, you know what happened. Bush was involved in the fact that he was executed. And so, and there's plenty of evidence on this. There are reasons why Trump has not completely revealed all of the information regarding the John F. K. assassination and so forth. Anyway, to the last string, Bush Sr. and his deliberate one term, I'm telling you, he could have easily been reelected had he stood up and actually challenged Clinton. Remember, Clinton won by the popular vote of a small percent, 39%. The popular vote of America, he became the president with 39%, the worst election ever for an American president by the popular vote. Let's have the facts on the table here. Not like Monroe. Monroe was almost unanimously selected by the Electoral College, like George Washington, where one member of the Electoral College had his vote so that it would not be unanimous. That's how favorable Monroe was, because he was a champion of liberty. But anyway, so America's been duped by all of these presidents. And so Bush Sr. deliberately became a one term because he knew he could not get the globalist agenda, NAFTA, moving forward, which Clinton took the, you know, the lap around the ring or the stadium in succeeding in getting America to commit to a global economic strategy. Clinton also took the Agenda 21 agenda moving forward. Who gave us Agenda 21? Well, Bush Sr. did, of course. Bush Sr. planted most of the seeds that are destroying us today. Bush Sr. was the one that began exporting Islam into America. And if you look at some of the high-ranking Islamic, the Brotherhood and so forth, those people that got into the FBI and other high offices, Bush was the one. Bush was the guy that actually started opening these doors to our enemies. Now, Clinton, he also, not only did he push the NAFTA, the global economy, and all of that, he also was instrumental in equalizing the world stage militarily, because it was he that gave away national secrets to China, because China couldn't come up with the technology, so we had to kickstart them. And as they started making leaps and bounds in understanding technology, now they've become a very viable threat. I remember in the early 90s, China wasn't on anybody's radar. And now, because we have been subsidizing them as a most favored nation and everything, I mean, even with technology, China has become our greatest threat. Bush W. was supposedly the conservative champion, or I should say the champion for conservatives who voted for him. However, during his presidential term, in response of his 8 years of office, one of the things that we have to obviously admit is that he was a progressive, because he doubled our debt, and most all of our debt was based on social engineering. I mean, it wasn't just American social engineering that Bush W. was doing. He was actually trying to fight AIDS for Africa. Remember, I have said this time and time again. STDs are a scourge on society and are a consequence of immorality. Why is it that the government is spending so many billions of dollars in trying to remove the consequences of sin? Folks, if you don't have the consequences of sin, then hey, sin away. It's okay, because they'll just give you a shot for it if you get it. Don't worry. Just, you know, just keep your pants on when you go home until the shot's taken effect. Then you're okay. And we have healed you of your sin. That's what government has been doing. And Bush was huge in trying to, he injected billions of dollars in trying to fight AIDS. Bush W. also handed us 9/11. He was, and actually, if you look, he was supposed to be the stooge. That's why everybody blamed him for everything. And everybody looks at him as a stooge. But I'm here to tell you, he did his role for the globalists. Everything that needed to be done, he did it, and he did it willingly. Obama did the exact same thing, but Obama had this different aura or this presence of being the champion for globalism. Obama, too, doubled the debt. He bowed to Islam and supported setting up the caliphate in the Middle East with the global recession. He used the global recession as the cloud to hide all of this. Remember, everybody was starving. That's why all of these supposedly rebellions were starting. This was all fed actually by W. If you look and do the research, you'll find that Bush W. actually purged all of the grains out of our silage, so that if there was all of a sudden a shortage of American grain in the market, the prices would jump up. And that's exactly what happened in whether it was 2009, 2010. So by 2011, the prices had shot up so high that people in Yemen and places like that had to decide which part, you know, which kids in their family couldn't eat because they couldn't afford it. There's no doubt that places like that that were living hand to mouth were easily susceptible to this type of manipulation. And Obama was the one that helped set up not only the caliphate under this global recession, but he also allowed the murder of Americans and the president of Libya, because they were running these NGOs were running all sorts of military-grade type of weapons into Libya that was going into ISIS. All of these dots have been connected. And so here's the thing, my friends. In the name of the new global religion, Obama empowered the Agenda 21 and transformed it into 2030 and began seizing American liberties with accesses to water under our feet on our own property, as well as waterways and so forth. Now, Trump has undone some of this. And under the left's reign over these last few presidents, Obama also moved America into dependence on foreign foods. Most of the food we are buying today is owned and or controlled by foreign entities. Like American pork, almost all of American pork is owned by China. So the profits that are being made by the selling of bacon, China is making. There is not enough time in the day to cover and make the full connection. So I will try to get back to these in helping you understand where we are in this republic. I am here to tell you that we need your help. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake.
send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.